Welcome to the third episode of Bite Size History, a podcast that looks at characters or events from history in 15 minutes or less. This is your host, Fish. Whether you're a casual listener or looking for content to share with students to pique their interest, you are welcome. Enjoy the show, and don't forget to subscribe on whatever platform you're using. Today's episode comes from a suggestion by an old college friend, Jonathan Barillo. Jonathan is a webcomic artist and comedian. He has published a number of books and has an excellent website where you can check out his work. It is biginsanehappy.com. I've enjoyed the many adventures of Blinky and Sal over the years. Sometimes it's just off-the-wall ridiculous, sometimes biting satire, but go to biginsanehappy.com and support the artistry of Jonathan Barillo. World War I was the first global conflict. It was called the War to End All Wars because it was so horrendous. A seemingly small conflict between two nations exploded across Europe because of various treaties. 20th century technology met 19th century tactics, leaving thousands dead. Australia, as an ally of Britain, gladly joined the war. It became the most costly conflict that they had ever been a part of, leaving 60,000 dead and 156,000 wounded. When the war ended in 1918, soldiers returned to their homes all across the world, uncertain of their future. Australia met this challenge by giving land to veterans. Starting a farm from scratch is difficult, but much more so if you have no experience and the land isn't the greatest. Then along came the Great Depression and made life even more difficult. But another challenge awaited these soldiers, unlike anything they had ever experienced before. In 1932, the Australian Army and its veterans clashed with a foe so cunning that it is baffling to this day. If we had a military division with the bullet-carrying capacity of these birds, it would face any army in the world. They can face machine guns with the invulnerability of tanks. They are like Zulus, whom even dum-dum bullets could not stop, wrote the Sun Herald in 1953 as they commemorated the 20th anniversary of a unique war on the soil of Western Australia. What avians could they possibly be talking about? Why, emus, of course. Don't you look at those round, gangly, flightless birds and think, they could be the scourge of any military in the world. Now, emus, they can grow up to about 5 feet tall, over 100 pounds. They can travel at speeds close to 30 miles an hour. And emu couples, they have about 5 chicks per year for 20 to 30 years. Left unchecked, emu become an invasive species. This was the challenge that Australian farmer veterans were met with. In 1922, emus were removed from the protected species list because they were destroying crops. Herds numbering in the hundreds would descend upon a field, trampling and eating the plants down to nothing. Farmers, who could barely afford their livelihood, didn't have leftover money to build fences, so the birds went from field to field like giant locusts. The farmers got together and petitioned the local government to help them out. They'd been trying on their own to deal with the threat, but unless you shot them in the head, they just didn't seem to die. There were far too many for any one farmer to take these beasts on. In 1932, Minister of Defense George Pierce stepped in to save the beleaguered farmers. Many historians now think it was a PR stunt to prove that the government cared about the veterans. But either way, George Pierce provided 3 soldiers, a truck, 2 big Lewis machine guns, and 10,000 rounds of ammunition. They figured this should be enough to dispel the 20,000 emus that lived in the region. Everyone was in agreement. They thought it would work. They had seen the devastation that machine guns had wrought on the fields of Europe as men charged headlong into the rapid-fire metal as their bodies were cut apart. Surely birds would be easier to kill than people. Major G.P.W. Griffith of the 7th Heavy Battery of the Royal Australian Artillery drove out on November 2, 1932 to hunt down a flock of 50 vermin birds. He thought, I'll catch them, I'll exterminate them. Major Griffith ordered his men, along with some of the farmers, to try to herd the emus toward the machine gun, so when he opened fire, it would have the greatest effect. The Lewis gun could fire about 800 rounds per minute. It was a simple enough plan that should have ended in slaughter. Nevertheless, as soon as the gun opened fire, the birds scattered in every direction. Not only were they fast, but resilient. One historian noted that emus can take roughly 5 bullets before realizing they've been shot, and 10 rounds before they finally die. Throughout the day, the soldiers hunted groups of emus, but only had 12 dead to show for it after firing hundreds of rounds. 2 days later, they tried again and set up an ambush. This time, the gun jammed and the crazy birds escaped. By this point, word got out to the press, and they couldn't help but poke fun at the dismal track record of the military versus seemingly dumb, flightless birds. One of the farmers responded by stating, "The emus have proved that they are not so stupid as they are usually considered to be. Each mob has its leader, always an enormous black-plumed bird standing fully 6 feet high, who keeps watch while his fellows busy themselves with the wheat. At the first suspicious sign, he gives the signal, and dozens of heads stretch up out of the crop. A few birds will take fright, starting a headlong stampede for the scrub, the leader always remaining until his followers have reached safety." At one point in the hunt for emus, the Australians tried to fire their machine guns from a moving vehicle, but they couldn't properly aim at the speeds they were having to go to keep up with these birds. Now the driver of one of the trucks, he became so irritated, so aggravated with one of the emus, he decided to run it over. As with everything else, this did not go to plan. The emu flew into the cab of the truck, and its body became stuck in the steering wheel, causing the driver to lose control. The truck swerved off the main road and crashed into a farmer's fence, taking out a good portion of it. These guys, these birds, were not going down without a fight. Now, over the next few weeks, Major Griffith and his recruits managed to kill 986 emu. They also used all of their ammunition, 10,000 rounds. Almost exactly 10 rounds per bird. The army decided they were not going to waste any more resources, and they gave up. In the short term, the emus won. However, the government changed its tactic. They offered bounties for any emu killed. Over the next 6 months, farmers killed more than 57,000 emus. Emus continued to be periodically hunted until 1999, when they became a protected species. In 1948, farmers once again asked for military support, but it wasn't given. An article at the time wrote, "Emus are roaming the wheatlands in mobs up to 300, and some farmers want them exterminated by using light bombs dropped from low-flying planes, and by machine guns." They were so frustrated with them, they wanted to bomb them. Looking back, what are some ways that you think they might have been able to handle these creatures? What would it have been like to be those 3 army men suffering defeat at the hands of the emus? Do you think the gesture was enough to make the veterans feel like their concerns were heard? Jump over to Bite Size History Facebook or Twitter and let me know what you think. Listeners, thank you once again for joining me on this new podcast adventure. I'll produce new episodes every 3 weeks, unless I have more to say in between. Please like and subscribe to Bite Size History on whatever platform you're using. I would love feedback from you or suggestions for episodes on my Facebook page or Twitter. To make it easier for everyone, the handle for both of those is @HistoryBiteSize. That's @HistoryBiteSize. Until next time, don't forget to learn every day.